Good morning. How are you this morning? We're here. Well, I'm glad that you're here. I think time change kind of messed us up in our thinking, but we are so glad that you are here today. This coming Friday is Veterans Day, and it is a special day in which we honor those who have served our country, and we do appreciate all of you who are in here today who have served our country in a lot of different ways. But this morning, we want to, first of all, let me ask, if you served in the armed forces in any of those branches, would you stand this morning? Thank you. We appreciate so much your service. We're going to have just a short video, and then Jesse's going to come and start our service with our announcements. But we did want to say thank you to those who have served our country, those of you who are veterans.
Morning, Crossville Church. Thank you all for being here this morning. Thank you for joining us in person. Thank you all for everybody who is joining us on Facebook. Please remember to comment and let us know that you are worshiping with us. As you looked around this morning and saw those different veterans stand, please make sure that you give them a pat on the back or a kind word or ask them to tell you a story or whatever as you walk out the door today or as you come into contact with them this week. I am especially thankful after being in Cuba for over a week to come home this week, and I had a great time, but I'm reminded of how good we have it here and also to what degree we take it for granted and take for granted those folks who have made sure we have those freedoms. So please remember to thank a veteran this week, and we're very thankful that you all are worshiping with us this morning. We have choir practice this evening at 5 p.m., so if you want to be part of the choir, please make sure you show up. And especially if you're already part of the choir, make sure you show up because Christmas time's around the corner. And Marcy is working through the different programs for Christmas, so don't miss out on that. Of course, we'll have our small groups this evening. And you know the different places they meet. If you don't, hit one of us up after service, and we'll be glad to point you in the right direction. But we do have the three groups that meet. The pastor will send out a Zoom link for his group this afternoon. We have Trail Life tomorrow night at 6 p.m., so you know who you are if you participate in Trail Life, but continue to invite families that have young sons to come and participate in this ministry, and we're very excited to see where it leads. Lady Quilters will be meeting this Tuesday at 9 a.m. This will be the final one for this year. Fran said that she's going to go put her feet up, so... this is the last one, but thank you for everybody who's participated in that. I know you all have a good time of fellowship, and but you all get a reprieve until January after this Tuesday at 9. Of course, Wednesday evening we'll have our normal activities for the adults, the kids, and the youth at 6 p.m., and then Grief Share will be meeting from 10 to noon on Friday, so don't forget about that. If you participate in that or know somebody who would like to, please invite them. We have NYC envelopes for the teens out in the foyer. I know many of you all have already taken part in that and supported the teens. But if you've not had a chance to do that, or if you would like to do that again, please pick up another envelope and support the teams as they continue to raise funds to go to Tampa this upcoming summer. And we have a church board meeting, not tomorrow night, but a week from tomorrow night on the 14th at 6:30 p.m. So next Sunday, board members, look for your packets. And don't forget about that board meeting. Many other things in the newsletter that go out on Friday. Please let us know if you're having trouble receiving that. Could be in your spam folder. I think we had a problem with that this week. We're working to get that resolved. Just be looking over that newsletter and make sure you stay on top of what's going on. All right, I'm going to have Pastor Tyler come. He's got a couple other things he's going to mention, but thank you all for being here today.
Well, the youth is, again, selling something that you need to buy. So I wanted to share with you about that. No, several people have asked if we were going to do the rod and knives again this year, and we are. So if you would like to buy a knife to cook with or clean with or whatever it is you prefer to do with that knife, see one of the youth. They'll probably have some more information than I do currently. However, I do know that you need to buy those by the 7th of December, and they will be back in time. Your order will be in time for Christmas. So if you want to have the opportunity to partake in that, see one of the teams or me or Keisha, and we can get you pointed in the right direction. One other thing, yesterday the teams had a quiz meet. And my understanding is that they won 3 matches yesterday, and then David Ball placed in the top 10. So, So, proud of them for that. But other than that, that's the only announcement that I have. So let's stand this morning and be prepared to worship if you're able, and then we'll pray and we'll sing a little bit together. Father God, we thank you so much for this day. God, we thank you so much for this time to come into your house and worship you. God, this morning as we watched this video, we were reminded of the sacrifices of many who have provided us the opportunity to be able to stand freely in a place such as this and worship your name. And so, God, this morning I pray that you would help us not to take those freedoms for granted. God, that we would know that there are many who sacrificed time away from family and sacrificed in many other ways, but God, there are those who will pay the ultimate sacrifice in giving their lives so that we could be free here in the United States of America. And so God, I pray this morning that you would help us to remember that. God, help us to remember that your son, Jesus, died on a cross for us so that we could live free from the bondage of sin in our lives. God, this morning I pray that you would help us to focus and to worship you for who you are. Thank you so much for everything you do for us. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.
Who am I that the highest would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the Son sets free. Oh, is free. Ransomed me, his grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free. There's a place for me.
was thinking this week about the story of Queen Esther and how her cousin comes to her and says, don't think that you're going to get by just because of your position. God has called you to where you are for such a time as this. I think if we're doing what we should do and taking our life and letting it be consecrated to God, then that means we have to take ourselves and allow Him to use us. I think a lot of times we think that we're exempt from things just because of the fact that we've come to Christ. But that's not necessarily the case. In fact, it's quite the opposite. When we come to Christ, we're called to be agents of change. We're called to be people who are invested in the community around us. And that's what I want us to understand this morning.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. For my life oh, how strange and divine, I can see all is mine, yet not I can free Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken. By my side, the Savior, He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need, His power is displayed. To this I hold, my Shepherd will defend me through the deepest valley. And I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Oh, fate, I dread, I know I am forgiven, the future sure. The price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and He was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever. Chains are released. I can see I am free, yet not I. Through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus. For He has said that He will bring me home. And day by day, I know He will. I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hope, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory and glory to Him. When the grace is complete, till my lips shall repeat, and I. Thank you. yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Thank you, Lord, that it is Christ at work in us. That it is Christ, the hope of glory, that is at work in our hearts and in our lives. And we're so thankful, Lord, this morning for the opportunity to gather in this place. A time in which we can look into your word together. A time in which you, through the power of your Spirit, can and will move in our hearts and lives if only we'll open ourselves up to that movement of your Spirit. And so, Lord, this morning, we are grateful that you are here. We are grateful that these people are here, and we believe, God, today you want to do something good in our hearts and in our lives. Not only in our hearts, our lives, but also our church. And so, Lord, this morning, we trust you and we believe you, that you, through your Spirit, are going to speak to each of us right in that area of our life that we really need to hear from you in, Lord. You know what we need. You know us better than we know ourselves. And so, Lord, this morning we are trusting you and we are believing you, and we know that you are able to do immeasurably more than we can even ask or imagine according to your power that's at work within us. And so, Lord, we rejoice in advance for the good things that you're going to do for us as we worship you through your word this morning. I pray, Father, that you'd bless the needs of our congregation. There are those who need your physical touch. There are those who need your spiritual touch. There are those who need your financial touch. Lord, there are those who simply need you to move in their lives and touch hearts and lives through them today. And so, Lord, we believe you're going to do all of that. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. We ask you now that you'd help us to focus on your word and for the good things that you're going to accomplish in our hearts and in our lives. We give you praise, honor, and glory for it. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Well, did you wake up this morning thinking that today was just an ordinary Sunday? You all ought to be in really good spirits this morning since you got an extra hour of sleep. I see some of you did the exact same thing that I did, and you woke up at the same time that you've been waking up. The only problem was, instead of it being 4:30, it was 3:30. Yeah. That's what time I woke up this morning. I've been ripping and ready and raring to preach ever since then, you know. And Susie just gave me that look and said, don't lie to these people. You know? Oh, my. What a great day it has been thus far. I got to talk to the kids this morning and talk to them about the fact that they are God's masterpiece. And I do want you to know this morning that I am looking at people who are God's masterpiece, who God created and had a plan for long before this world was in existence. And he's got something that he wants us to hear this morning. And he's got something that he wants to do in us and through us and for us as we look into his word together. This morning I'd like for you to look with me to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, in just a few moments, we're going to read that entire chapter. Now, that may frighten you just a little bit, but we've got plenty of time, and I promise you, you're still going to get out of here in time to beat every which church you want to beat to the restaurant. So we're going to be in good shape this morning. Exodus chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 1 through 22 here in just a moment. I said it earlier, you know, we look at these Sundays that we come together and we think about them and say, well, it's just a plain old ordinary Sunday. It's one of those days we're going to go to church, we'll hear a Sunday school lesson, we'll sing a few songs, and the preacher will get up and preach for a short period maybe, and then we will go home. Ordinary Sundays. But I want you to understand that God wants to take some of our ordinary Sundays and make them very extraordinary if we will only allow him to. January 6, 1850, long time ago, it was a bitterly cold Sunday in Colchester, England. There was a blizzard, and most of the people there in England, in Colchester, England, stayed home that morning. It was at the Methodist Chapel there on Artillery Street. Only about a dozen people showed up, and when it became apparent that even the pastor was not going to make it that morning, one man stood up and he read from Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22, which says, "Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." He said a few words as he was there this morning, and the crowd eventually dispersed, thinking the day was a total loss, not realizing that a 15-year-old boy had snuck into the service that Sunday morning, trying to get out of the cold. And as he heard the message that was presented there by a layman that Sunday morning, he gave his heart and life to Jesus. Years later, Charles Spurgeon wrote, "Don't hold back because you cannot preach in St. Paul's. Be content to talk to one or two in a cottage. You may cook in small pots as well as in big ones. Little pigeons can carry great messages. Even a little dog can bark at a thief and wake up the master and save the house. Do what you do rightly, thoroughly, pray over it heartily, and leave the results to God." Charles Spurgeon was that 15-year-old boy that slipped into the service that morning. I want you to know that I preached to you last Sunday morning on Slightly Imperfect. And I want to read you that passage that I preached from last Sunday morning one more time. Look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. It's on the screen. "Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. Because it is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." I mentioned, as I was going through that sermon last Sunday morning, that on slightly imperfect people, and I've had quite a few people talk to me about that message. I don't know when I've had a message and people talk to me about that, and I don't know if that's because it struck a nerve that we all are slightly imperfect. And as someone said about me, you can take the slightly off, you know. And I mentioned something last Sunday morning in the message as I was going through it, and I've not been able to get through it, not been able to get away from it all week long, and so you're going to hear kind of a rehash of last Sunday, and you're going to get something new. How about that? Thank you, Eugene. I knew I'd get one amen out of that. Here's the statement that I made last Sunday morning. I made this statement that God uses ordinary people. God uses ordinary people. We don't always understand it. We might look at ourselves and say that I am, if there's ever been anybody that was ordinary, I am that person. So, sometimes because we do think of ourselves as ordinary, we don't think that God would be able to use us. We don't picture ourselves as being another Apostle Paul, or we don't picture ourselves as being a great Billy Graham evangelist. We don't picture ourselves as a Mother Teresa or someone who ministers to those who are hungry and destitute. We don't think about a lot of those things because we look at ourselves through eyes, and many times we see ourselves as a whole lot less than what God would ever be able to use. But I want you to understand something this morning. God, even as I said last Sunday morning, even though God has shopped from the imperfect rack, God still is in the process of using those people that He takes from the imperfect rack. And He wants to use them and He wants to help them. He wants to do something in them, through them, and for them that they can't even begin to believe. God wants to use ordinary people. And one of the most ordinary people that you're going to find
in Exodus chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, and we're talking about Moses there. It's not going to be on the screen. I'm not going to, because it was so long, it won't be on the screen, but we're going to read that whole chapter. It says, beginning with verse 1, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Oreb, and at the mountain of God. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it didn't burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. That is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Go assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a three-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians and all the wonders that I will perform against them. After that, he will let you go. And I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed toward this people so that when you leave, you will not leave empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, which you will put on your sons and daughters, and so you will plunder the Egyptians." Can you imagine? Can you imagine being in the wilderness and all of a sudden you see a bush that is on fire, but yet the bush is not burning? And you go to find out what's really going on, and you want to know why this bush is burning, but nothing is happening other than you see the smoke going up, and out of that bush, a voice speaks. And it is the voice of God. It's interesting to me as this happens and God speaks that Moses immediately begins to realize that this is not the ordinary going on. That this is something extraordinary happening to a very ordinary person. I guess the thing that I want you to get, if you don't get anything else this morning, is that God uses the ordinary, and the ordinary can't be extraordinary as God begins to move and as God begins to work. And so this morning, I want you to understand, first and foremost, that God uses the ordinary to meet the needs of His people. God uses the ordinary to meet the needs of His people. Now, if you go back and you begin to realize the whole story, Moses is there tending the sheep of his father-in-law, Jethro. Moses is carrying a rod in his hand, and it was probably a shepherd's staff. And this morning, this part of this story may mean nothing to you, but I'll never forget, as a teenager sitting in Georgia camp meeting in Taylor County, Georgia, and we were there, and a young man came in who was deaf, or just nearly deaf. And I'll never forget him sitting there talking to me and Jonathan, who was the other guy that was traveling with the PR group that summer. And as he sat there and he began to talk to us about the rod of Moses, you could tell that he had severe hearing issues. And this is not meant to be ugly, but just tell by the way he tried to pronounce his words and the things that he would say, and it was not quite right because he had not been able to hear most of his life the way that you pronounce all the words. And he sat there and he began to talk to us about the rod of Moses. He began to talk to us about how this was just something very, very ordinary that God chose to use. If you go back and you remember the stories that happened as God was there with Moses and the people of Israel and the ten plagues that came upon the people of Egypt, you'll recall that every time basically that rod was used, when they come to the Red Sea and they're going to be going across that vast body of water, what does God tell Moses to do? Raise your rod. And when he did, the sea split. They're in the wilderness. They don't have water. They don't have anything. What does God tell Moses to do? Take your rod and strike the rock. And he did, and water flowed. An ordinary rod made for a specific purpose. It didn't have any jewels on it. There was no elaborate ornamentation on it. It was never owned by a king. It was never used by a queen. But God took the ordinary, the very ordinary rod, began to meet the needs of people as they were leaving their captors. You say, William, that's a great Old Testament story, but what about something in the New Testament? Well, you remember the little boy that was willing to give 5 ordinary loaves and 2 ordinary fish, and because of that, Jesus was able to feed over 5,000 people there that day? I personally don't think that little boy gave up that lunch just, oh yeah, here's my lunch. I think he sat on it when they went for it. There is a principle here. Squished lunch is better than no lunch. Very ordinary things. Very ordinary things that God has used to meet the needs of people. The cross upon which Jesus died was not anything spectacular. You go various places and you'll see crosses that are encrusted with jewels. You'll see crosses made of gold. You'll see all of these things on a cross. But please understand something, folks. The cross that Jesus died was just an ordinary cross made out of wood that probably had been used before and probably was used afterward. But through that cross, God has met the needs of multitudes of people. You see, God uses the ordinary to meet the needs of His people. God uses the ordinary to provide an example for His people. The Hebrew people had been enslaved for years, and God heard their groanings. God heard what they were, the pain that they were going through, and He decided that He would do something about it. And he decided that He would use this example for His people so that something could happen for them that they did not think could happen. He chose a hired hand. You said, William, He chose Moses. Exactly. He was basically a hired hand working for his father-in-law, Jethro. And this was the guy who had trouble putting his words and his thoughts together. Those are his words. Those are not my words. This past Wednesday, pastor sat over in the Good News classroom We meet on every other Wednesday for prayer. We try to get all the pastors from our zone together. It was interesting as we sat there on Wednesday, as Pastor Jamie from Sparta was talking, and he said he had been reading, and he came across Stephen's message there in the book of Acts chapter 7. And he says there that Stephen is preaching, and as Stephen is preaching, he talks about Moses being mighty in words. What do you find Moses doing? Oh, Lord, here I am, send Aaron because I can't talk. You'd be surprised across the years how many times I've had people say to me, "Now, Pastor, don't ever ask me to teach a Sunday school class because I just can't stand up in front of people." Can I tell you what that makes you? That makes you an ordinary person who's afraid to stand up in front of people, just like I am. Y'all don't believe it. I know you don't, but I'm telling you the real truth. That this thing that I do every Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, it is something that I'm frightened. And I guess it's a good thing that I am frightened because I have to depend on Jesus to do what He's going to do. And yet God provided an example for His people in that He chose this ordinary guy. This ordinary guy who had killed an Egyptian and had gone into the wilderness was probably about 80 years old. Does that ring a bell with anybody? D.L. Moody once said that Moses spent 40 years thinking he was somebody, 40 years learning he was nobody, and 40 years discovering how that God could use a nobody. This ordinary man was used by God in a mighty way. He was used by God in a mighty way. He went upon the mountain and met face to face with God. And when he came down off the mountain, his face shone with the glory of God in such a way that the people could not even bear to look at him. This ordinary man was used so effectively by God that when he died, the whole Israeli nation mourned for 30 days. This plain, ordinary fellow was on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was there with Moses and Elijah, and his disciples were looking at all of this going on. And when it was all over, Peter said, "Lord, this is a good place to be." God used this ordinary man to provide an example of how He, God, can take an ordinary shepherd and do something spectacular through him. This morning, part of the lesson that I had with the kids upstairs was that God has created us as His masterpiece. And the question that I asked the kids was, "What do you want to do when you grow up?" Or what do you want to be when you grow up, is the first question I asked, to which River said, "An adult." That kid is smart. Then I rephrased the question, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" Then we got down to the heart of the matter. Folks, I want to tell you, God takes people just like you. God takes people just like me and uses them to be an example to the people who are around them. You see, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote his letter to his first letter to the Corinthian church, he said, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." You go over to the book of Philippians, and he wrote, "What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you." You see, God takes people, ordinary people, and He uses them to be examples of what God can do in someone's heart and life. You have been placed where you are, whether it is in your job, whether it is in your home, wherever you may be. You have been placed where you are so that God can take your ordinary life and do something extraordinary in the lives of the people who see you, to be an example. God used this ordinary man, thirdly, God used this ordinary man to teach His people. Isn't it amazing the things that Moses taught these people as they were there in Egypt and as they were going through the wilderness? Isn't it amazing the things that they learned from this very ordinary man as God was using him? Now, let's be honest about it, okay? Moses was not a perfect man. God had pulled him from the slightly imperfect rack. I'm serious. God had taken this ordinary man and began to use him in ways that he could not even begin to believe. It was Moses who sat in judgment over the people. It was Moses who gave the people the law of God. It was Moses who God used, and this was just an old guy who was available. An old guy who was available and was willing to go when he saw a bush on fire and heard God speak, who was willing to say, "Here I am, Lord." I found out a long time ago that most of the time the people that God uses are not the people with the greatest education. They're not the people with the greatest charisma. They're not the people with the greatest talent. Because most of the time, the people who have all of those things are not the people who are willing to say, "Here I am, Lord." They have their own lives. They have their own agenda. They're not willing to follow after God's plan. And so God goes to the imperfect rack, picks someone, calls them, and that person says, "Here I am, Lord." That ought to encourage you this morning, especially if for years you've sat and you thought, "God could never use me. God could never do anything in me because of all of my past, because of my present. God could not do me because I have all of these problems." I've had some really, really good Sunday school teachers as I was growing up, and I've had some that were not so good. I've told you before, and you've heard her name many, many times. Some of you might not have, but Martha Washington was my Sunday school teacher. Not the original. The kids told me this morning they thought I was in my 90s. They are lucky they are in service today. I don't remember one single solitary thing that Martha Washington taught us. Not one single thing. I remember she gave me a Bible for Christmas that year. I do remember that. But other than that, I don't remember one single solitary thing that Martha Washington taught me. But I do remember that Martha Washington loved me. And her teaching methods might not have been the greatest. As I say, I don't remember a single thing that she taught me. But I do remember walking into that class and Martha sitting there at that table. And when I would walk into that class, Martha would reach up and pull me to her. "William, how are you?" And it didn't matter whether we were in Sunday school or whether we were in big church. Martha always showed the kids in her class how much she loved them. Can I tell you something, folks? Martha Washington was an ordinary person that God used to teach some kids. Billy Coley sat out in a bus in the winter and in the summer and taught all the junior high boys. May God bless him. About two or three years ago, I was sitting in my office in Baton Rouge, and Cindy buzzed me and said, there's a fellow on the phone that wants to talk to you." And I said, "Who is it?" She said, "He wouldn't give me his name." Well, that always starts an interesting conversation if you're a pastor. And I picked up the phone, and I said, "This is Pastor William." And this is what I heard: "William, this is Billy Coley. I just wanted to call and say hi to you." He was just an ordinary man that worked at Anniston Army Depot. He helped rebuild tanks. And God used him to teach a bunch of junior high boys on a church bus out in the parking lot in the summer and the winter and the spring and the fall. Just ordinary people. You read what Jesus had to say, and you're going to find that Jesus used ordinary stories. Ordinary stories that the people knew what he was talking about. They understood. And as the people understood what he was talking about in these ordinary stories, something began to happen in their lives. You see, God uses ordinary people to teach his people. He did it then. He does it today. The fourth thing that I want you to see this morning, and there are only five, okay? So that's good news for you. We're on number four. The fourth thing I want you to see this morning is that God uses the ordinary to reveal his plan to his people. You already know the story. I mean, there is Moses. He's out in the desert. He's tending the sheep. And all of a sudden, this bush begins to burn. He goes to see what is happening there. And God at that point in time began to reveal to him the entire plan that he had for Moses' life, the remainder of Moses' life. We don't know what kind of bush it was. I mean, a lot of Bible scholars think they know, but you begin to look at it, and ultimately we don't know what kind of bush it was. It could have been a beautiful bush. It could have been an ugly bush. It could have been a tall bush. It could have been a short bush. Whatever kind of bush it was not important. God used it. Jesus chose 12 men. One of those 12 turned out to be a rascal. But God, Jesus chose 12 ordinary men. And he had all of these other people who were followers. God chose an ordinary woman to take the first message of the resurrection back to his disciples. God uses people to begin to reveal his plan in ways that we can't even begin to understand. And God uses the tall ones. He uses the short ones. He uses the skinny ones. He uses people. I knew I had almost went from preaching to meddling right there, okay? Didn't matter what the bush was. The bush was there. It didn't matter who Moses was. Moses was there. And when God said, "Moses, Moses," Moses said, "Here I am." Kind of reminds me of Isaiah. "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here I am." It was in a revival at Wesley College in January of 1979 when a young man finally said to God, after God had been dealing with him for about 8 years, that young man said, "Here I am, and here I am still." You see, you don't get any more ordinary than I am. You don't get any more ordinary than Susie. She was raised in the third smallest county in the state of Georgia. You don't get any more ordinary. But God chooses to use the ordinary. And many times, the fifth thing that I want you to see, God many times takes the ordinary and he begins to set people free through the ordinary. Do you realize we make a big deal, and I'm not lessening this at all. We make a big deal out of the 10 plagues, but can I tell you something? The water was ordinary before it was turned into blood. The frogs were ordinary before they were multiplied. The gnats and the flies were ordinary before they increased. The death of the cattle, that was an ordinary thing. Cows die unless it's brought about by the hand of God. The boils and the sores that appeared on the skins of the Egyptians, they were ordinary sores until they were brought about by the hand of God. The hail and the locust and the darkness, all of those things are ordinary. If you don't believe hail is ordinary, go to Oklahoma. The locusts, the darkness, all of those things are ordinary until they are placed in the hands of a God who is extraordinary. I said it earlier, I'm going to say it again. The cross of Jesus was not made of gold or silver. It wasn't encrusted with jewels. It was ordinary wood that had been hewn out by ordinary people. It was something ordinary, but God used it to set people free. And no matter how ordinary you think you are, no matter how ordinary you may think our church is, no matter how ordinary you may think this preacher is, or how ordinary you may think you are, if you'll simply place your hands in the hands of an extraordinary God, God can use you to set people free. Conclusion. God delights in using the ordinary. I heard someone say that God must love poor people because He made so many of them. May I say it just a little bit different? God must like and love ordinary people because He made so many of them, and He will use those ordinary people if they're willing to say, God, here I am. You may be here this morning and you're thinking, I'm just an ordinary person. I'm just an ordinary kid. I'm just an ordinary young person. I'm just an ordinary husband. I'm just an ordinary wife or a parent or a child. I'm just an ordinary senior adult. I'm just an ordinary soft-spoken Christian who loves Jesus but finds it hard to express my faith. I am just ordinary. Well, praise God, He can use you. I want to read the scripture that I read to you last Sunday morning as our text. And I've already read it to you this morning, but I'm going to read it to you from the message. Take a good look, friends, at who you were when you were called to the end of this life. I don't see many of the brightest and the best among you. Not many are influential. Not many are from high society families. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that culture overlooks and exploits and abuses? Chose these nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies. It makes it quite clear that none of you can get by going out and tooting your own horn. That's actually what it says. Everything that we have, right thinking, right living, a clean slate, a fresh start, comes to us by way of Jesus Christ. You're tired of hearing that word ordinary this morning. I know you are. But if you go out of here this morning and you don't realize just one thing, I failed in this message. And the one thing that when you leave here today that I want you to remember is that God uses ordinary people, which means God will use you. Boy, I set you up for that one, didn't I? God will use you. God will do through you what He can't do through somebody else who isn't willing. But if you're willing, God will take you just like you are. Ordinary. He delights in using ordinary people to do His work. Henry Blackaby said, when God was ready to judge the world with a flood, He came to Noah. When He desired to build a nation for Himself, He turned to Abraham. When He heard His children groaning under Egyptian bondage, He appeared in a burning bush to Moses. They were three of the most ordinary men, but God had a work to do, and He knew just who to do it with. God has always given His people assignments that are too big for them to handle alone, so that a watching world can see not what we can do, but what God can do. So when Mary has a sign-up sheet, yeah, I brought it from out there to right here, didn't I? So when Mary has a sign-up sheet that says we need some people to work with the wee kids or the NAS kids, or when you hear Sue or Susie talk about the fact that we need MOPS moms and we need all of these people, you can't go back now and say, well, I'm just an ordinary person, because God uses ordinary people just like you, just like me, just like Pastor Tyler, just like Mary. God uses ordinary people if we are willing. He has used the simple things to
to confound the wise. God will use you. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you love us, that you gave yourself for us, that you have a plan for us. As the Apostle Paul said better in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we are your masterpiece. We're your masterpiece that you have provided a plan for us long, long ago. You want to see us do something, and you'll do it through us if only we'll be willing. And so, Lord, I pray this morning for these who are sitting before you, these who are sitting before you who maybe at times and places have said, I'm just an ordinary person, what can I do? Moses was just an ordinary person. Moses was a murderer. Moses was a man who had run from the Egyptians and basically was running from God. Called him. And you used him. And you will use us this morning if we will just willingly say, Lord, here I am. Help us not to pull back. Help us not to believe the lies of the devil who would tell us that we can't do anything. Help us, oh God, that we would willingly follow you wherever you might lead us. We thank you for this time that we've had together this morning. And Lord, perhaps there is someone very ordinary there this morning who they've listened, whether in this building today or maybe on Facebook. They've listened today and they've used that excuse. I'm just an ordinary person. What can I do? Help them, oh God, to realize that through you, the ordinary becomes extraordinary. We give you praise for what you're going to do in the hearts and the lives of your people as they begin to believe in the God who is calling them. The one who is going to bring to completion what he has started in them. And we love you and we thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name. Don't ever say to me, I'm just an ordinary person. Because you're not. You're one that God is calling, one that God will use if you'll simply be available. I'm glad you were here this morning. Remember the services, the groups this afternoon. We'll be getting the Zoom link out for those of you who want to do Zoom with the Good News group. We'll be getting that out this afternoon. May God bless you. I hope you have a great day. God uses ordinary people. Praise His name. You're dismissed.